Hello and welcome back to Gay Waves. Pretty much all of us have out and coming out stories. Those moments when you realize I'm not quite like my friends. We're all family. There's something different. Maybe there's something wrong. How do you rationalize your feelings when you know you're different to who you are? How do you tell your parents you're gay? It's a life-changing moment. It's a terrifying, heart-wrenching, fear-filled, gut-turning moment. Unless your parents are gay as well, then it's a whole different ball game. So tonight's guest is my wonderful Andrew McDonald, who is a gay man and was raised by gay parents. So he's going to tell us all about it. Welcome to Gay Waves, Andrew.
Thank you
How are
very
you?
much. I'm very well. How are you?
It's great to see you again. I know you're going to inspire lots of young people like yourself. Go on and move forwards with their lives and be wonderful like you.
Oh,
So
thanks.
you were a gay man, obviously. You grew up with gay parents at a time when it was still illegal to be an out homosexual in Australia. So was it two mums or two dads that you had?
I grew up with two mums in suburban, well, actually outer suburban, semi-rural, southwest of Sydney in dairy country.
Dairy country. That's way out west. But
Oh, yes.
your mums, were they, well, I'm going to say mums for want of better words. So that were they out or were they still in the closet in those days?
Very much in the closet. My mum has had two lesbian relationships, and the first one was very much a closeted relationship. It wasn't spoken about, wasn't really even spoken about with us as kids. It was kind of there. It was very much the love that dare not speak its name, unfortunately for us at the time. And we was sort of, no one said anything. I never copped any sort of comment or flack about it as a kid from anyone. It amongst mum's and her partner's friends, it was accepted but not spoken about. So in hindsight it was a little odd, but at the time I was a 5-year-old child, so I sort of didn't really, you don't really see much beyond the end of your own nose, so I didn't really see any other. That was just my life. I was very happy and it was fine for me.
It never even occurred to you when you went to school that everybody else has a mum and a dad, and you had mum and auntie, I assume.
Oh, it was kind of mum and other
Other mum.
female person who was in charge. And yeah, look, I probably sound like a real clueless little boy. I was. I just didn't. It didn't. I didn't think about it. I was just. This was. I was in my home. I loved my family, and everything was fine. I'm guessing my older. I'm the youngest of three. My older brothers were probably a lot more aware of what was going on because I was 5. My oldest brother was 10. And so I'm sure they had a bit more awareness. We've never really spoken about that, in terms of when did we know, when did we come to terms with it. I really didn't come to sort of deal with it until, oh goodness, I was 16 when mum and her first partner broke up. 16, 15, 15 or so. And I watched my mother deal with a breakup where she was hurting a lot. It was very, very emotional for her, and that was when I thought, okay, so that's what's going on. I kind of by that stage I kind of thought, yeah, that's probably what's going on, and realized that mum's gay and she's dealing with a breakup. So I just sort of thought, by that stage I was the only child at home, so I just thought, well, mum and I get on very, very well, so I'll just make sure that she's okay and help her out however I can, and help her through the breakup. And as luck would have it, and it was very much luck, mum met her second partner, Ellen. I think actually they were already friends socially through a couple of the women's groups. And they became close, became friends, and then started their relationship. And mum never really talked about it again. I'd already come out to mum at this stage. I think I came out to my mum when I was about 14. Mum's comment, and I now know in hindsight how lucky I was. Mum, because I was going through that am I, aren't I, is this a good thing, is this a bad thing, and all the difficulties that every person deals with when they're discovering their identity. And when I said to mum, I think I'm gay, mum said, that's completely fine. But you don't seem happy right now, and that's the thing I'm most concerned about. I need you to be happy. I want you to be happy. And so I felt very, very loved and very, very supported. And there was never a sense of anything that I was doing or experiencing or understanding about myself that was never wrong. And when I hear other people's stories, I realize just how incredibly lucky I am to have gotten such amazing support. And when Ellen, mum's partner, when we met, Ellen, it was quite funny. Ellen and I were both on our best behavior trying to make sure the other person liked the other one. And it was kind of the opposite of all those movie tropes where, the evil sort of stepmother or new girlfriend comes in. And no, it was quite the opposite. We were really wanting to get on because obviously we both love mum. And we did hit it off very, very well. And Ellen stayed the night there because we lived out miles from where Ellen lived. So Ellen stayed the night. And the next morning we were having breakfast. And I think we were just sort of talking, normal breakfast conversation. And then Mum said, "So how do you feel about this?" And I said, "This is lovely. It's breakfast." And I there was a bit of sort of pussyfooting around. Mum was very, very coy and saying, "Well, are you okay with Ellen being here?" And I said, "I'm fine. She's lovely." And eventually Mum said, "You're going to make me say it, aren't you?" And I said, "Oh, I think it's fair. I came out to you." And so Mum said, "How do you feel about the fact that Ellen stayed here and is my partner?" And I thought I'll be really, really glib. And I said, "I think it's lovely. Please pass the salt." And then we all started laughing and then talked seriously. And I just said, "No, I think it's really, really wonderful. And I'm very, very happy that you're both together." And that was a real turning point for me because I went from being sort of from what was called a broken home in the 1970s to actually having parents or parental people that were together. And that was pretty amazing. And it meant a lot to me. We went through some interesting, I won't say battles, I'll say hurdles, because Ellen and Mum were both very, very strong and very, very determined women. And people like, even though they've both passed away now, I admire them greatly. And the first sort of hurdle I can remember was when Ellen decided that we would get family health insurance. And Ellen contacted her health insurer and said, "I want to put my partner and their child on our health insurance." And they said, "Yes, that's fine. That's not a problem. Just give us his name and the son's name." And Ellen wrote back saying, "Okay, can do that, but is it a problem if my partner is a woman also?" And we got a letter back just as quickly saying, "Absolutely no problem at all. Just give us the details and names and relevant information, and we're all good." So thank you, Teachers Credit Union. They were completely unconcerned. They were more concerned about they have a long-standing member who now has a family, and that was all that mattered to them. They didn't make any judgment about the structure or the makeup of that family, which is, this was 85, 86, I think 86 it would have been. So I was again looking back over that, still there was no marriage equality, there was no recognition of their relationship legally, and that was completely acceptable but to this organization. So that was the first. I also had a bit of a running joke. I called Mum Moth, and so it became Moth and Off. And I remember asking if we went to on a school excursion to see, I think it was Queensland Ballet, and I asked if I could bring a guest as well who wanted to come and see the performance. And Mum wrote a note saying, "Attending Moth and Off," and my English teacher, who was organising this, just looked at it and said, "Oh, mother and other, okay, not a problem." Didn't bat an eyelid. Didn't make any waves and was very happy to meet my mother and other. And again, I was kind of amazed at just this really calm acceptance because I'd sort of all this time I'd thought this was going to be for me. There was a lot of negative reaction amongst the sort of kids at school to me being out and gay, very, very out. So seeing adults just sort of see this as, well, this is your family, this is just a non-issue, these are the people that you are part of. So that was really nice. It was also really lovely as I grew up and left home, getting to see my mum have the relationship that she really wanted. And Mum and Ellen joined the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir, the Sydney Cruising and Sailing Yacht Club, the Four-Wheel Drive and Camping Club. Oh, well, when with the choir, Mum and Ellen travelled to the Amsterdam Gay Games and performed with the choir all around different parts of Europe. Mum had a lovely time, particularly in Rome, when she got adopted by a group of Mum and Ellen got adopted by a group of drag queens who looked after them, took them to the best pasta places. She actually ended up meeting them. I think she said it was in the laundromat. So if you're going to Rome and you don't know what to do, go and talk to the lovely ladies in the laundromats and they'll help you out. So that was really wonderful seeing all this and getting their amazing postcards and stories as they traveled around, and also then did the Grey Nomad tour. One thing that was really, really incredible for me was being on both sides of the fence at Mardi Gras one year watching the parade and getting to see Mum and Ellen, and the joy on their faces was just like something I've never seen. And it was that was really powerful. And also then another year when I was with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, as Sister Mary had a little lamb, and having Mum and Ellen call out to me and give me a hug, and seeing all the people around them realize that, oh my goodness, these two lovely old dykes are actually supporting their son who's in the parade. It was those sorts of experiences are they mean so much to me because they're not common for a lot of people, particularly at that time. It wasn't something that happened very much. And I really love the fact that now when I go to when I've been to things like Mardi Gras launch, festival launch, and so on, seeing young men and women with their young children and teenage children and adult children even, my goodness, that makes me feel old. It's a really, really wonderful thing to see that this is now an open and acceptable, accepted family. No one has an issue with two mums or two dads being in a family and a parental set. It's a really, really beautiful thing, and it makes all the struggles that Mum and Ellen went through worthwhile. Yeah, so that's probably the most powerful thing for me as an adult. And a gay man seeing people my age and also really young people starting out and knowing that my mum and her partner paved the way for these people to feel comfortable, feel happy, and be families. I mean, when one of the downsides, one of the less pleasant experiences is when Ellen had bad blood pressure and was on a medication called Vioxx, which was known to cause, although the makers didn't tell us this, heart attacks and strokes and all sorts of health issues. And Ellen had really, really bad, I think she had a heart attack and 13 strokes in the space of about 2 or 3 days. So she spent the last 3 or 4 years of her life in nursing home in a bed and couldn't walk, did regain the ability to talk, and regained the ability to hold a glass of champagne, which was very impressive. There was a very beautiful Christmas where she wouldn't let go of that glass of champagne. I was feeding her with a fork, but she didn't care about that. She had a glass of champagne in her hand. One of the hardest things, though, at that time was that because Mum and Ellen weren't recognised as a family, their home, their family home, was considered an asset, and they were faced with the prospect of maybe having to sell that to fund Ellen's aged care, which would have pretty much put Mum in a position where she wouldn't have had a home. As luck would have it, the house was valued lower than the relevant asset class or whatever it was, whatever the rules were. So they didn't have to sell their home. But it is absolutely heartbreaking to sit there and watch your parents crying. One, not knowing what's really going on, because after the effect of the strokes, Ellen did struggle to comprehend a lot of stuff. And she was crying because Mum was crying because Mum was basically saying, oh, I'm going to have to, we might have to sell the house so that we can make sure that you're okay and you can stay here. And that's fine. And Ellen was saying, but we can't sell the house because that's our home. And that's one of the reasons why seeing that and seeing how that affected my parents, it's one of the reasons why marriage equality was such an important step, because that won't happen to anyone now who is married. We're protected, we are now recognized, and I'm so proud that my mum's fought that fight. And in fact, when Ellen did pass away, mum and Ellen's daughters actually had a quite a lengthy argument. I think it took about 4 weeks, a month or so, maybe a little longer, where the issuing of the death certificate was delayed because births, deaths, and marriages wanted to name Ellen's daughters. And Ellen's daughters said, well, that's very nice, but Sandy, my mum, is the next of kin, but she's not legally married. And they said, but she's the next of kin. And this argument went backwards and forwards for many weeks. And I am very proud to say that my mother is the first same-sex partner listed as next of kin on a death certificate. It at the time was a bit of a weird, I mean, it was so such a bittersweet victory. We've lost someone in our family, but also to forcing a government organization to just shut up and accept the fact that this is who these people are, this is this family, and you can't bureaucrat that away. That's not the way this works. And now that's not going to happen. And I'm really proud that that's not going to happen to anyone else, because it was a really difficult time for mum. Her partner had just died, and she was dealing with her grief and having to argue with a government department, which is inappropriate. Government departments are, they work for us, and we should be looked after by them. And I'm really glad that that's not going to happen to anyone now. So now my mum has since passed away. She passed away about 2.5 years ago now, just before COVID started. And one of the things that I learned from mum after, while she was living alone, very happily living alone in her little villa that she had, was that I asked her about things like, what's it like to have raised a family as a gay woman in a time when it was illegal? And she said, well, it was just who I am, and it's just who I wanted, what I wanted to do. And I don't, she sometimes said that she thought that it was unfair of her to leave my father, because she was married to my dad and then left in 75. She said that she thought that that could have been unfair. And I said to her, no, being untrue to yourself would have been unfair. I think it would have made you unhappy. And then by extension, we would have all been unhappy. And she said, but wasn't it hard for you having such an unusual family? And I said, well, no. And I told her some of the stories that some of my friends went through with parents literally throwing them out on the street, beating them. Horrible stories that people went through because their parents didn't accept they were gay, like yourself. I mean, so many of us. And I look at what so many people went through, and I think, well, no, mum, that isn't my story. My story is one where I was loved and supported. And mum also became very much a kind of a surrogate mother for so many people. So many of my friends referred to them as to mum and Ellen as their other mothers, and they would call them mummy or mum when they saw them out at events. And there was a lot of love there and a lot of respect. And that's a really, really amazing feeling to know that other people looked to your mother for parental advice and parental love. I mean, it just, I felt that if anything, it expanded how lucky I was that my family just got bigger and bigger and stayed. And people still that saw my mum as their surrogate mum are still very, very close friends. And that's a really wonderful thing. So I think anyone out there who's listening to this, if you are wondering what it's like, whether your child is gay or straight or male, female, non-binary, trans, the power of just saying you're supported and you're loved is more important than anything else. And if to allow you to be a loving parent means to be true to yourself and have a gay partnership or a lesbian partnership and raise children, then please don't think that your children are going to suffer, because they won't. I'm very, very happy. I'm happily married to my beautiful husband sitting beside me right now. And I am very, very blessed. I've got a good career, and I'm a successful person. I'm happy. So having gay parents has just enriched my life. It has never been in any way a negative thing. The only negatives I've ever experienced have been as a result of other people's behavior, hatred and bigotry, nothing from within my family.
That is the most amazing story I have heard, and even better, because I've known you all these years, there's just so much I did not know about you. So thank you for sharing. You've made me cry. I wish I had your family. But just one last question for you. Do you have plans for children of your own? You and your beautiful husband there.
No,
He's run away.
he's not
No.
here. We've talked about that. We have a beautiful, beautiful little puppy, or actually she's a grown-up doggy now, but she thinks she's a puppy. And we have a very strange cat, but everyone has a strange cat. There's no such thing as a normal cat. But we love being uncles. We've got our various brothers and sisters and cousins have kids that we're unclely people too, or gunkles as we refer to ourselves, the gay uncles. My nephews also are starting to have children now, and that's very exciting. Although rather than buying crazy presents, I've started becoming that crafty uncle. I've made two baby quilts now, I'm very proud to say. And I love being an uncle. I don't think I'm cut out to be a parent. Yeah, I like being around other people's children, having fun with them, teasing them, laughing at them, and having them laugh at me, which is awesome. And seeing them grow up is lovely, but I think I'm probably not going to be a parent.
No.
I'm what Quentin Crisp referred to as a stately homo now.
The husbands, the pets, that wonderful Barbie doll collection that I know you have, and that's going to be another story for next time, people. So stay tuned for another day.
I would love to talk about my Barbie collection.
That could be
Maybe
a
book a
whole
2-hour
podcast.
content. Yeah.
Absolutely. Some of those Bob Mackie outfits. Yeah.
Glorious.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us tonight, with me especially, because I have known you so long, and now I feel I know you even that wee bit more. You're special.
Excellent.
But
Thank
thank you for
you.
joining us on Gay Waves, Andrew. And we're going to go out
My
with
pleasure.
your song, and that will be playing in a second. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.